I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this?
Yep.
All right. Let's go ahead and dive into the super comments here. Shouts to you guys for coming through here. We have 11 super chats to get to throughout the show. Right at the beginning of the show, I hopped on here. There were four waiting. So the first one comes from Jason Kelly, which means
fuck Washington.
Love this for the Lakers. Hate this for Darvin Ham. I'm not going to give too much away. But from what I heard, there was certainly belief that had the Lakers lost tonight, that, you know, tomorrow we or maybe even tonight, depending on how the game went, there may have been a change. Now, I don't know what the difference is between winning a single game in the series is versus losing in five. If the Lakers lose in five, I think they would really have to stretch it to save Darvin's job here. But, you know, I, if you wanted Darvin gone, if that was your top priority, you know, the Lakers losing tonight probably would have gotten it done. But I don't know if, like, I'm saying this as somebody who does not like Darvin Ham as a basketball coach, right? I think he puts a limit. He puts a ceiling on what the Lakers are capable of. And yet I'm happy that the Lakers won tonight, right? Like very much happier. I would have way preferred they win this game, even if it puts that at risk.
Yeah. I don't know how much it changed. I honestly think, like, if you're already considering firing your coach, I just don't think one series, like, honestly, going down 3-0 is already kind of the sign, right? That's already the sign that something's wrong. So I don't think there's anything that can go back on that. Maybe beating Denver kind of flips that. So I don't know. You can, like, other people can answer that question. I just don't think this changes much. I don't even think winning game five changes much either. You go down 3-0, it's kind of looked at in the NBA sphere as an inevitable, you're going to lose, right? So you're kind of do actions based on that, you know, that result. So I don't think that changes much. So you can enjoy this win. Anthony, I put out a poll today, by the way. I asked Laker fans, would they like this series to continue, you know, kind of polling me versus people like you or others who were kind of like, let's just get this series. Yeah. Okay. 70.
I was like curious what it looked like. And I voted like I went with the bit. Like I figured that that would be the funniest vote to offer up there. But yeah, what did it finish up at?
All right, so about almost 3,500 or 3,400, over 3,400 votes. 72% say yes. It's 27% say no, which I'm kind of surprised. I thought there would be a lot more kind of no's within that. But I think you got all the responses that if you say no, you're not a Laker fan, which again, I wasn't trying to promote that, like some hostility between fans, just asking a question there. But I'm glad most of Laker Nation wants this series to continue. And hopefully they come on the yes side, Anthony, as we go into game five.
I think having now 1-1, you know, if you ask this again, well, shoot. If the Lakers win game five, things get really interesting. Really, really interesting. And this is so funny. It's so funny how playoff basketball works, right? Where you'll lose a game and you feel like you're never going to win ever again. You win a game, you feel like you will never ever lose. Like, you know, I'm the king of the world stuff. It is so funny how that plays out. All right, the next one comes from Marley Villasenor. Which means it's unlikely, but what if the Lakers win game five in Denver? Also, AD is proving he's top 10 in the league. What a series from him. Yeah, I really, for whatever reason, and AD kind of like lended his voice to this too, for whatever reason, voters and national media members just like hate Anthony Davis. And I don't get it because like, he's a good dude and he's a great player. So I really don't understand where all of that is coming from. But what if the Lakers win game five in Denver? I mean, what if means like, you know, Denver's on their heels for the first time in 2 years in two playoff runs. Like that would be the most nervous the city of Denver has been since they traded for Russell Wilson.
The pressure then goes back on Denver, right? Like that, to me, that's what happens. You win game five, the kind of the pressure and everything kind of tilts towards Denver. They have to come all the way to LA, win another game on the road. And then you're dealing with LeBron James in a game seven, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis in a game seven, where any like game seven, really anything can happen. I think you can kind of go back in the history of game sevens and you kind of look some crazy results, but that's really what happens. And if that happens, you can actually like right now we're having some conversations, but really we can't really have real conversations in the future of this series until game five happens, right? Then we can really talk about, oh, like, can the Lakers do this? What do they need to do to kind of win two more games? But right now, you got to focus on game five. And then that really changes the whole complexion of this series to me, Anthony. That turns this from, oh, it's great the Lakers survive, to, oh, Denver needs to buckle up and like realize they're in for a real war here. Because right now it's not that.
It'd be the first time Denver has been nervous, like actually nervous, in 2 years.
Yep.
Right? Like,
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
You better win game five is all I'm saying, Denver. Like, you have to win game five. Not that like it means that you're definitely losing the series, but you haven't been nervous in two calendar years, whether it's against the Lakers or really anybody, right? Because they went 16-4 in the playoffs last year. You never broke a sweat last year. And you know, you go into this one and you play with, you know, and you go back home to LA where the Lakers just beat you there. And I do think that the Lakers may have found something here with LeBron being in the dunker spot, even if it costs you some Rui minutes. But, you know, I'm really curious because Mike Malone has been talking a lot about the things that they haven't had to roll out against the Lakers. Now you have to, right? Like now you have to make all of those adjustments. And now that's going to be on tape. And if you don't win game five while rolling out those adjustments and those things are on tape, now game six gets interesting. And now, yep. And then you're going into a game seven, having lost three in a row.
Yep.
That's, you know, you better win game five is all I'm kind of saying.
Yep.
Justin Tindall sends another one, which means a big relief in an elimination game. Prince played the whole fourth. Vincent played 8 minutes. Austin, four. Rui didn't get off the bench. Austin played 29 minutes. Rui, 21. Murray is mortal, but Porter Jr. turned into Superman. The minutes there do feel a little, I think it's circumstantial. Prince was, Torian Prince was playing really well in this one, and Rui has been kind of quiet. They need to find a way to get him going. Like they need to find a way to get more offense out of Rui. And I don't know if it's a matter of his legs kind of being exhausted from guarding Jokic. I don't know. Like I think Denver's kind of tough because Rui's an ISO scorer and the best defense that MPJ plays is in isolation. And so that makes it kind of complicated. And if he isn't guarded by MPJ, he's guarded by Gordon, who is one of the league's absolute best defenders. So, sure. You know, the Lakers need to find a way to get something going for Rui there.
Yeah, Denver's one of the few teams that can match a Rui LeBron AD unit just in size, right? Like most teams can't. So most teams, once they throw their center and their forward at LeBron and AD, there's usually just not another big guy left to throw on Rui, which is where Rui ate. And that's an important kind of place for him to score from. But Denver's just a different type of defensive team. They also take away the rim. At least they try to more than other teams. So they kind of want to indulge you into jump shots. And Rui's, most of his offense has been coming off like corner threes, which he's, I think, hitting at a respectable rate. He's just not getting a ton of volume on those. And again, the tiptoeing baseline cuts have been scouted out. So unless he's hitting that little mid-range fade, Anthony, I'm not sure where his offense really comes from. There's sometimes like we try to post him up against KCP, and I think that's a place you can kind of work when if there's some switches. I think that's where Rui can really leverage his size and score at. But if he doesn't have it going, like we have to make a decision quick, at least Darvin does, because the matchup on the other end is just really tough for him. If MPJ, like this guy says, continues to be Superman, I was going to ask MPJ to be a different hero, but I don't know any. At the top of my head, so I just left that alone.
All right, I'm not gonna keep doing the F Boston thing all show because we have so many more of these things. So Alex Chavez writes, y'all remember the Pat Bev quote? We shot 20% today, and we shot 26%, so we got better. That's what taking a game feels like. I joked with Jen because she was watching the game with me. I joked with her that it was like the little giant scene where they gained the yard and like the dad, one of the dads gets up from the sideline. He's like, we gained a yard, you know, you don't understand the reference because you don't know the movie or whatever.
No.
But that's it, like, it's, you got it. You don't like upset somebody by taking all of it at one time. You know, you upset through belief that is built up through a bunch of miniature wins. And today, you know, was a bunch of miniature wins that led to an actual win.
Yeah.
Bran Oeming saying, did y'all see Murray holding his knee and limping? I did, man. And again, like Raj said, it's not that I'm hoping for an injury here or anything like that, but this is what you risk when you play longer series than you have to, is you have an injury prone point guard. And now he's holding his knee. Justin Tindall thought Braun was going to kill Ham on live TV. An interesting choice to piss off the franchise with your job on the line. That was wild, man. Like, it was like clear. It was right in front of the bench too, for one thing. I think that was part of the frustration there from LeBron. And you know, it's been a trend all year, right? Where they take too long to challenge or don't challenge outright. And that was a big possession now, a big possession there that they eventually gave up 2 points on.
Yeah.
Where'd your mind go when you saw that?
I've never seen LeBron do that, at least publicly, right? And there's just no way you could take that any other way than he was pointing at the coaching staff. Now, maybe you can separate out who he was pointing at, but obviously Darvin at least is the one that calls the challenges. So I think that's the person he was mad at. I've just never seen LeBron that animated, at least like in a public setting too, that like kind of calling out the coaching staff. So I think that was big. I think that was important. That was a huge moment in the series. LeBron had a not huge because it didn't matter in terms of the scoreboard, but you know, I made a mental note of that. I was like, wow, I've never seen that. You could tell like frustration. If the frustration bubbled up so much that it came out publicly like that, it kind of shows how he's obviously dealing with this privately. So hopefully that doesn't, you know, impact the game going forward in game five. But you know, I thought that was a huge deal. I've never seen LeBron do that in these 6 years or whatever he's been here. I've never seen him jump in such an animated way, kind of calling out the coaching staff for a decision that they did or not make.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Absolutely. I've covered at length LeBron's frustrations and everybody's frustrations here with this coaching staff. And that was a big one, man. Like, that was a clear missed call.
Yep.
And you know, a lot of times, like, Vogel used to do this all the time, right? Where he would just kind of challenge something because his star said it, you know, or whatever. And I think you can go too far in that direction too. But in that one, it's like, I don't think LeBron is making that big a deal out of a call that you know, you would lose, a challenge that you would lose. And, you know,
it's tough because, like, right on the other, there was one play today where Jamal Murray, first quarter, asked Malone to challenge it. And Malone right away got up and challenged it because of his star player told him to, you know, and then you have this on the other end.
But he lost that one, right? And he didn't have a challenge.
He's losing the battle to kind of win the war. That's what coaches do, right? And kind of in that situation.
Rye Guy writing, Woj before the game is putting out there that they won't pay for a top coach, aka if Lou is available. He used Budenholzer as the example. Also said Ham will have picks and more talent. Credits him for 47 wins when they didn't have Vando and Gabe. Raja, I'm going to kind of get out of the way here and see if I can find. I tweeted out the clip, so I'm going to find the clip here of what Woj actually said there, because that's actually not a great representation of it. But yeah, like, you know, you mentioned Darvin Ham's future and what going down and the way that the Lakers were down does to his future there. But like, where do you stand here on Darvin?
Yeah, I mean,
I thought he did some interesting stuff in this one. Like I did. I'm not a big Darvin guy, but I thought he coached a pretty good game today.
I thought he did too. And again, I think those four guard lineups are still concerning to me. And I always try to look at the logic, and I get the logic of let's just speed the game up. I disagree with it. Doesn't mean I can't follow the logic. I think Darvin's just in a spot where if you lose like this, at least if you got swept out, right? I think his job was definitely I think he was definitely losing his job as a coach. I really don't think anything other than winning this series changes that in any monumental way. Maybe taking it to seven gives, you know, gives the Lakers some, you know, change of heart in that manner. I don't think it changes much as far as the, you know, pay top money for a coach. I mean, that's kind of always the way they operate, right? The Lakers aren't Steve Ballmer, aren't the owner.
Here's what he actually said about it. And okay. I'm not going to play all of it. It's a full minute long or whatever, but here's what he said about Darvin Ham. So here's what, this is Woj via ESPN.
Coach of the Lakers, and you get swept in the first round of the playoffs, or you lose in five, you've got job issues. You've got job security issues, and Darvin Ham will have that. I think that despite the fact he went to the Western Conference Finals last year, he won more games this year, 47 in a regular season, where they're without Jared Vanderbilt and Gabe Vincent for most of it. But here's what the Lakers are going to have to look like. They're going to have to look at what is the marketplace? Who is available to them out there? I think Mike Budenholzer is the most accomplished coach that's available. The Lakers have not shown necessarily a willingness to pay for a head coach of what Budenholzer is probably going to command on the market. And then you start looking around out there and say, and also, they've got three draft picks that they can move now at the draft. They had one they could use at the trade deadline. There'll be more players available. He has the potential to have a better team, maybe a more guard who allows them, you know, to be more of a...
He's going to stumble around after that. So... It was kind of crazy to see Woj that flustered. Like, it kind of felt like he was kind of protecting Ham a little bit there, right? And like, didn't want to go like full on. Like, it kind of sounded like he hinted at the fact that, like, you know, Darvin would be in big trouble, and he would have been. Like, I'm here to say Darvin probably isn't the Los Angeles Lakers head coach if the Lakers lose tonight. When we wake up tomorrow, we probably wake up to or are prepping for a report on Darvin no longer being the Lakers head coach if they lose this one. And he didn't necessarily want to go all the way there. He did say that the Lakers will probably have a better team next year. He didn't say, like, in the way that I saw people talking about it on Twitter today, because I saw people basically saying, Woj is saying to everybody that the Lakers won't pay up for a head coach next year. That is very different from what he actually said there, which is, historically speaking, the Lakers haven't really paid up for head coaches. The last, like, big time head coach that they really paid up for was technically Mike D'Antoni. They lowballed Tyronn Lue previously, right? So again, I'm not disagreeing with Woj saying that they haven't done that historically. I disagree with Lakers Twitter basically jumping to the conclusion that that is him saying that they won't do that here if the right coach becomes available.
Yeah.
So yeah, I you know, that's, it's why I tweeted out the clip, is to like get a proper representation. There wasn't a ton of reporting there.
Yeah. I don't think he said anything defiantly in terms of like reporting, like you said, but I think he was just obviously using like logic. I'm sure he has some sources or stuff. Obviously he's Woj, but yeah, like I think it's clear that if the Lakers go out this way, they obviously just can't come back and stand pat. And that goes for players, that goes for coaching. And Darvin Ham is a part of that. As far as the just if they would pay up, and I know that's not what he said, it's just the kind of market dictates that. Like, you're just in a place where coaches are getting contracts that are different than they ever had. So if you want a good coach, that's just the number you're going to have to pay. And Lakers don't have a choice in that manner. So if they want, like, for the, I think the comment said Ty Lue, like, that's going to cost you whatever is the market for a coach, right? A good coach right now, it's expensive. Like, it just is. So we'll see. I wish they didn't have to do that segment like right before a playoff game, you know, like, can we talk about, the game? But
if you don't do that segment with Woj, then what's the point of having Woj there? Cause he's not a great basketball analyst.
Yeah.
Brandon Olmang writes, did y'all see the stat that the Lakers have led for 129.06 and Denver has led for 41.53 and they've been tied for 14.07. Also disappointed in Rui. I'm seeing there's a butt here and I'm missing the butt. But yeah, I think with you know, the Lakers have, I think, done enough to have to be in a different spot here. But, you know, unfortunately, when the Nuggets have really kind of turned those screws, it's really put a lot of pressure on the Lakers there. But there's enough here that, especially after they win, after they won tonight, I think there's enough here that the Lakers can kind of build off of and head into game five with real belief.
Right. What this kind of reminds me of, and again, I don't watch soccer, but, like, you know, I was kind of watching during the World Cup where, like, one team would have possession all game, right? They would show the time of possession. It would show, like, such a lopsided possession, but the team that, you know, didn't even have the ball very much still won the game. That's kind of what I noticed from that. Like, that stat is absolutely a knife to the heart. But yeah, I think it shows that we can at least keep up with this team. This team is not running all over us, and it just still feels very different from last year, where I feel like we have more things kind of in our favor, that if just some things break our way, not every 50-50 ball goes to Denver. There's places where we can really leverage that into wins, and it's only happened once, so hopefully they can kind of keep that up. But no, that stat, that's another one, Anthony, that would be tough to go into the summer with, right? Like, it's just got to be tough to go in the summer with knowing that you led for, can't do the math on that, but whatever percentage of, you know, minutes that is for the series, and you go home. Like, that's a really tough way to bow out. So hopefully that's not how they go out here.
Yeah, easily more than half is kind of the fraction that you're looking for there. Yep. Rye Guy, without Vando plus Gabe, etc., sounds like a bet they only fire him if they miss out on a star. Even if they pull off a miracle and win the championship, he's got to go. I'm going to limb here and say if they win a championship, they probably don't fire their head coach. But yeah. like I the tough thing here is that I've had people like, I can't give it up because I my reporting is exclusive to Lakers Daily, and I don't want to throw off my contract here. But what I will say, though, is that, like, it was pretty evident throughout the year that, like, Darvin kind of lost enough allies in the locker room that, you know, it's kind of tough to come back from that after that season. It's impossible to come back from it within the same year, right? And I think the Lakers win these games and have done enough winning this year because it's, you know, you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Those guys are typically going to help you win. But I just don't know how you bounce back from the amount of noise that has swirled around Darvin Ham this year. And, you know, I'm really curious, like the next question here or the next one, right? Lane asking, would you rather lose Monday or take it to seven and keep Ham? Like, you got to take it to game seven because now you're in a one game sample with LeBron and AD, you know, that's against a team that you've beaten three straight times. But you know, it would doing that cost you keeping Ham or force you to keep Ham? And I understand why fans would be sick enough of him that you've reached that point. And I think maybe that is kind of telling in and of itself. But like me personally, you win playoff games and you see where you wind up. You hope that the front office still makes an educated and proper decision on a guy who clearly isn't fit for the job.
For sure. And look, the previous, you know, from Rye Guy, if they win a championship, I think Ham would probably have done some things that earned at least an extra year, right? Yeah. Like if he's able to kind of route this playoff run and, you know, beat Denver and, you know, go through whoever to win a championship, I'm sure there were things that he did to deserve another year. And I'm sure the Lakers are looking at this as well. And I know, like, maybe you or others don't want to hear this, but if he's able to route this team to beat the defending champs who looked unbeatable, I'm sure there's a place maybe where they look at it and go, hey, like, look, is this a guy that maybe can coach one more year? I'm sure those are all conversations that will happen. I want to take it to game seven. I think this is a strange either or. I get how bad Ham has been, but you just don't know how many more playoff runs you have left with LeBron. Take it all the way, man. Take it all the way. If you can get to game seven, you have to do it.
And then finally, Nathan Mark writes, AD is getting very close to Kobe level for me. I don't know if I he's nowhere near Kobe level for me personally. I can understand why Lakers fans would like the guy. He's a very likable guy. He's a super talented player, all those things. But Kobe is rarefied air, man. Like, you're talking about, you know, argument for the best Laker of all time. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you know, he's on Mount Rushmore, and I don't think Anthony Davis is capable of getting to the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, it would take, I guess, a lot more winning, right? And maybe AD can just never catch up. Obviously, between the years that, you know, Kobe was here for 20 years, that's just a tough kind of lopsided way to look at it. I would wonder how old, I guess, Nathan Mark is, right? Like, I guess Kobe's been retired long enough now that maybe, like, his view of basketball has been more, he's seen more of AD. Like, I could kind of see where that goes from, but I think someone who's watched both, no, AD is not anywhere near Kobe level for me. But I think AD is getting to the point, Anthony, where people see him as a Laker, right? The New Orleans kind of part of his career is getting more and more.
If he retires a Laker, he, like, goes into the Hall of Fame as a Laker.
You know? Sure. Then the New Orleans section is being more and more in the rear view. And honestly, it's a lot of that is because New Orleans wants less and less to do with him, like his history to be involved with them. So you mix those two into a cup, and it's kind of like, yeah, I could see why Laker fans and me as well. I'm very invested in Anthony Davis because I think he just signed here as well. So, but no, he's not Kobe level for me yet.
All right. That is going to do it here for this episode. Much longer episode of the Lakers Lounge than I anticipated. But you know what? Let's enjoy this. Like, you know, you got a playoff win, you snap a streak. We have 3,400, 3,300 people in here watching right now. Please do hit that subscribe button. Please do hit that like button. If you're watching on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge. I'm going to throw this up in the form in pod form, and then I'll probably also record a mailbag episode for Sunday. So hit me with questions. Preferably in the form of a 5-star review for Monday's episode. And yeah, Lakers win. They beat the Denver Nuggets. They snap the streak. 119-108 is the final here. They head to Denver where they will play on Monday. That game 5 becomes super interesting, man. Like the beginning of that game, and I know that the Nuggets have really kind of played with their food, especially early in these games against the Lakers. But I wonder if they maintain that same approach now that the Lakers can actually believe that they can beat them. I'm really curious how game 5 goes, both strategically and within or between the years. So until tomorrow and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Raj Chapalu. This has been the Lakers Lounge. Have a great rest of your night, everybody. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
Don't let us get one more.